Hey, this is Rich Wilkerson. I'm the pastor of VU Church in Miami, Florida, and this is our podcast. Thank you so much for checking it out today. I hope it encourages you and inspires you. Here's today's message.
Can we have one of the greatest pastors come and greet us? Our greatest pastor, come and greet us this morning. Come on, I can't hear you, Miami. I can't hear you, VU. Let's welcome Pastor Rich Wilkerson.
How we doing, Miami? Hey, why don't you grab a seat for a moment? We're gonna open up God's word together. I'm gonna need some help from those lawn seats today with this sermon, by the way. I don't know if this is your first time to a moment like this, but this is not an event. This is just an old-fashioned church service. And I don't think we could have gotten better weather. I don't think we could have gotten a better location. I don't think we could have gotten a better day on Super Bowl Sunday to gather right here at Bayfront Park. Come on, if you love Jesus, if you're grateful to be in the place, go ahead and make a little bit of noise all over this house. What an honor it is to get to come and share with you for a moment. My name is Rich, and I get the privilege of leading a church here in Miami called VU. And today, there's so many incredible churches from South Florida represented here. Maybe you're here today and you don't go to church. You don't even believe in God. That's okay. We're so grateful that you're here. You can belong here without believing. In fact, this whole day is actually, you're the guest of honor. Can we make some noise for all of our friends that aren't normally in church that came to be with us? I want to read a little passage from Luke chapter 15, but before I do, I think we would miss a moment if we didn't just take some time to honor Kanye West and the Sunday service choir for coming and being here. You know, Kanye's been a friend of mine for the last 7 years, and to get to watch what God has done in his life, specifically in this past year, I'm so proud of the man that he is. He's been a great friend to me. He has helped me in so many different ways, and I just want to make sure every time I get a microphone that I'm around him, that I take some time to honor him, to let him know that God's doing something significant in his life. VU Church, all of us here in Miami, we love this man. Can we thank God for the gift that's on his life? Can we thank God for him being so gracious to let us all come? Luke chapter 15. I'm going to speak a little bit, and then we're going to worship some more together, but I want to draw your attention to the last part of this story that Jesus is telling, and I'm going to put it into context. Starting in verse 28, my Bible's flipping pages on me. You got to love the wind of the Holy Spirit. Verse 28 says, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him? My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Anybody thankful for the grace of Jesus Christ that finds that which was lost? And I want to take the next few minutes, and I want to speak to you from the subject, come home. Come home. I don't know how you got into this place today, but this is what I know. I know that today our hope and our prayer is that you would have an encounter with a God who loves you and a God who is for you. I think sometimes the challenge that we're living in is that a lot of times there's people that misrepresent the God of the Bible. It was Gandhi who said, I would be a Christian. I've just met too many Christians. Meaning what happens is that so many people, they begin to represent God and we see their flaws, we see their mistakes, we see their problems, and therefore we think God is like that. But I've come to this place today to let you know that God loves you. God is for you. God has a plan for you. All he says today is come home. Maybe you're here and you're like, I don't think I could ever be used by God. I don't think that God has a plan for me. I've made far too many mistakes. I've done too many bad things. What I would say to you is you ought to read the Bible, because the Bible is full of people that God used, and God is in the business of using broken, jacked up people. These people were crazy. You think your family is dysfunctional? Read the Bible. God uses jokers, smokers, even midnight tokers. I'm telling you, read the Bible. I mean, Noah, for goodness sakes, was a drunk. Abraham was way too old to be used by God. Definitely too old to be having kids. He was 100 years old. That's not just crazy, that's nasty, okay? Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Joseph was abused. Gideon was afraid. Moses had a stuttering problem. Samson was a womanizer. David was a murderer and he had an affair. Rahab was a prostitute. Isaiah, he preached naked. Can you imagine that next Sunday service? Jeremiah was too young. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha worried about everything. I'm telling you, Timothy, ulcer, Paul, too religious. Lazarus, he was dead. Oh, come on, Sunday service. I'm trying to tell you, God can even use dead people if you'll just come home. Our God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He simply says, come home. Come home. Whoever you are, just come home. I love Luke chapter 15. It's probably my favorite chapter in the New Testament. Luke chapter 15, most scholars would say, was Jesus's defense to his ministry. You see, when you study the life of Jesus, and you should if you're curious today, what you'll find about Jesus is that he was always hanging out with broken people. He was always hanging out with people that really religion said you can't be with those people. Maybe you're here today and you're going, why would Kanye West fly 180 people from LA, rent out Bayfront Park? Why would VU Church shut their services down? Why would you do all this stuff? Well, the reason why we do it is because Jesus did it. Jesus was obsessed with people, that he wanted them to know that you can have a relationship with the Father. In Luke chapter 15, he had been criticized so much that he finally gave his answer, his defense to all the criticism he had been dealing with. And the way that he answered the criticism as to why he was doing ministry the way he was doing it is he told three simple stories. The first story, he talked about a shepherd who lost his sheep. The second story he talks about was a widow who lost her coin. But the last story, the one I want to talk to you about, is what he called the story of the two lost sons. Now, what's interesting is that church or religion has called this story the story of the prodigal son. But Jesus never called it the story of the prodigal son. He said it's a story about two lost sons. The first son is known as the prodigal, but he was the youngest. And he went to his dad one day and said, yo, dad, I want my inheritance right now. I'm getting out of here. I want to go and do my thing. It's a picture of sin, because sin will always choose short-term gratification over eternal satisfaction. How many know that an inheritance tends to grow? The longer you wait, the more you're patient, your inheritance will get bigger and bigger and bigger. But what the enemy would tell you is the enemy would say, no, get what you want right now. I have two sons growing up in my house. My firstborn, his name is Wyatt Wesley Wilkerson. My secondborn, his name is Wild Wesley Wilkerson. These boys are either gonna be preachers or bank robbers. Pray for us, we're not sure. But we're trying to teach our kids manners in our house. We're kind of old school. And so my wife, she's from the South, and she's always saying, you know, teach the boys yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. And my son Wyatt was home yesterday, and Don Shree told him something, said, hey, yo, Wyatt, like, you know, do this. And he said, no, Mia. And Don Shree, because he's just learned how to talk, she thought he said, no, ma'am. So she got excited. She called all of her friends. She called her mom. She's like, mom, you wouldn't believe it. Wyatt, he's so well-behaved. He keeps telling me, no, ma'am. And so we're just telling everyone, he's so polite. And then we found out that at school, they're teaching him Spanish right now. And what we found out is that the Spanish word for mine is mio. And so he's been saying no mio, which doesn't exactly mean no ma'am. Instead, it means no mine. How many of those, that's a big difference. Yesterday, I took my son to breakfast and I got some eggs and bacon. I tried to get some of his bacon. He said, no mio. I said, actually, son, that's my eggs and my bacon. How many know sometimes we can treat God this way? No, that's mine. And God's like, no, don't you understand that everything that you have, from the shoes on your feet to the clothes on your back, it was all given to you by God. Yet so often we want something right now. And so the youngest son, he takes the inheritance and he squanders it, the Bible says, on wild living. And he finds himself completely at his end. He spends everything and he finds himself in a broken place, so broken that he goes and to a farmer and says, can I work for you feeding your pigs? And one day the Bible says, Luke chapter 15, that while he's feeding the pigs, he becomes so hungry that he says, man, that food looks good. I should eat the pig's food. And then the scripture says that he came to his senses. How many can testify out there that sin doesn't make any sense? Sin will always take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you more than what you're willing to pay. And he comes to his senses and said, I should go back to my dad. I should just go home and just say, Dad, I'm sorry. Can I be one of your servants? And so he gets up from the pig trough and he starts walking the long road home. And while he's working on his apology speech, the scripture says the father sees him in the distance. Anybody thankful that God saw you in the distance? Anybody thankful that God saw you long before you had it all put together? And the scripture says the father starts running towards the son. And when he gets to the son, please hear this, he wraps his arms around the son, begins to kiss the son, puts a ring on the son's finger, puts sandals on his feet, puts a robe on his back and says, my son is home, we're gonna throw a party. Come on, how many think we ought to throw a party today for some people that are coming home? I love the dad. He's like, kill the fattened calf. We're going to throw a party. I'm always like, who just has a fattened calf hanging around? The father does, just in case you come home. I believe there's blessings stored up for people in this arena today that maybe you just might make a decision today to come home. I want to let you know that God redeems the time, that you have not gone too far. There is no mistake too big for God's grace. He just says, come home. Your life has value. How do I know? Well, it's like this. I got a $100 bill in my hand. This $100 bill is worth $100 because the government says so. It's been stamped with the seal of the government. Now, how many know I can crumple this $100 bill up? I could stomp on this $100 bill. This thing could pass from hand to hand to hand. It doesn't really matter what neighborhood it goes to. It doesn't really matter where it ends up. How many of you know it's still worth $100? Can I encourage you today? I don't know who's crumpled you up. I don't know who's stomped on your life. I don't know how many hands you have gone through, but I am here to tell you that you have been stamped in the image of the Almighty God and nothing takes away your value. Come home. Just come home. Just because you're lost doesn't mean you've lost your value. Come home. Scripture says that they start throwing a party. But then our text picks up, and I'm gonna close with this. The scripture says, meanwhile, everyone say meanwhile. Meanwhile. The scripture says, meanwhile, the older brother, he heard the music and the dancing. I always wonder, that must have been some kind of party. How do you hear dancing? Unless the Sunday service choir was there, of course, right? He hears the dancing, and the scripture says that he becomes angry. He becomes angry and he goes out on the front lawn and he begins to pout and he refuses to go into the party. Scripture says that as he's out there pouting, the dad goes out to him and pleads with him to come back into the party. Here's what I want you to see. The older brother, he represents a different type of being lost. See, you can know all about the father, but it doesn't mean that you love the father. And you can be in the house, but it doesn't mean that you have a heart for the house. Just like going to church doesn't make you a Christian. If I stand in my garage, it doesn't make me a car. It's about relationship. And the scripture says that this older brother, he's out there and he's pouting and he's angry and he's a picture of religion. I love the picture because one brother thought he had done so bad that he deserved less, but the other brother thought he had done so good that he deserved more. But how many know that both are a lie? The point was always relationship with the Father. And the scripture says that the father, he comes out onto the front lawn and says, son, what are you doing? And the older brother says, dad, I've been here all these years slaving for you, doing all the right stuff, and you never even gave me a young goat. Why does he want a young goat when he has a dad who has a fattened calf? See, religion will always lower your standard. Religion will always try to get you to think that you deserve something. But I'm here to tell you that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not about getting what we deserve, but the gospel of Jesus Christ is getting what Jesus deserved. It's called grace. It's called grace. And it's available to all. I love the picture of the dad, because please see this picture. What we see is that not only does the dad have a grace for the prodigal, he also has grace for the Pharisee. Meaning Jesus doesn't just have grace for those of us who've committed the crime, he also has grace for those of us who judge the crime. We all get access with him, and he says, son, please come back into the party. It's just not the same without you. Why don't you come home? Your brother was lost, but now he's found. He was dead, but it turns out he's alive. We had to celebrate. What he was saying is that you've always had access. And today, I want you to know that whatever you've done, whatever you've not done, whoever you think that you are, we all have access to the grace of God. It reminds me when I was flying early, about 10 years ago, I was flying a whole lot, going to Australia quite a few times in a row, and I had been collecting this thing called airline status. I didn't know anything about airline status, but I found out that it gave me all these perks. And I was flying through the Sydney airport 1 year, 6 times in 1 year. And I would always just go and wait at my gate and sit just waiting for the flight. And then somebody one time said, Rich, you know, because you fly so much that you have access to the Qantas first class lounge. I said, no, I didn't know about this. I said, oh, you got to go check it out. So the next time I was in Sydney, I was with my boy Phil. I was like, bro, let's go see the Qantas first class lounge. And so we went on this journey looking for the lounge, up some escalators, through a private elevator. And then finally we came to the doors, and the doors just opened up automatically. There was a man behind the counter and he was typing. I said, sir, I was kind of nervous. I said, hey, can we come inside? And he said, what is your name? I said, my name's Rich Wilkerson. And he started typing. I never know what they're typing, but they're typing a lot. He goes, oh, here's your name. Enter at your leisure. I said, this is someplace. And I walked into the lounge and everything was white. And I walked in, I was amazed because I was like, what is this place? They had free Wi-Fi. Someone said amen. They were giving massages away in the lounge. I said, what is this place? I went over to the restaurant, the best part, my boy, we sat down. They gave us a menu, and on the menu, everything on the menu was free. I'm like, yo, I'll take this, I'll take that. I'm sitting there eating bacon and waffles, and I look at my boy, I'm like, bro, ain't this something? All these years I've been flying through Sydney, and I never knew that I could come into this lounge. And I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, Rich, that's what so many people look like. They have no idea that I'm simply saying, come home. You have access. Enter at your leisure because of the cross of Jesus Christ. He already paid the price. It's called grace, unmerited favor. You can never deserve this love. He loves you just the way that you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay the way that you are. He says, come home. I want to throw a party for you. Oh, friend, I'm here to tell you today, grace has done something in my life that the law could only dream of doing. It is true, the law gets the first word, but how many are thankful that grace, it gets the last word? It's true, man. The law can break a hard heart, but how many know grace can heal a broken heart? The law, it condemns the best of us. Oh, but grace saves the worst of us. The law exposes, grace exonerates. The law accuses, grace acquits. The law diagnoses, but grace delivers. The law says slave, but grace says son. The law says cursed, but grace says blessed. The law says guilty, but the grace of Jesus Christ has been shouting for 2,020 years, you are forgiven. Come on! Come on! Whoever you are, wherever you come from, just come home. Would you stand with me all over this place? He loves you. He has a plan for you. Your mistakes have not put you in a place that you can't be used by God. He loves your weakness. He loves your brokenness. It's through your brokenness that he gets glory. It's through your weakness that his grace shines through. We didn't invite you here to encounter Kanye, a choir. We invited you here to encounter a living God who has a plan and a purpose for your life. And whoever you are, wherever you come from, you belong. Come back home. I don't know if God is a football fan, but I got a feeling his favorite player and favorite position on the team is always the running back, because God is always running back to you as soon as you turn towards him. And so for a moment, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, no one's looking around. The scripture says in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The scripture gets better, for it says, for God did not send his son in the world to condemn the world, but rather he sent his son in the world to save the world. Meaning, if God wanted to condemn you, he would have sent a condemner, but instead he wanted to save you, therefore he sent a savior. And today, all over this place, on the count of three, if you want to come home, if you want to surrender your life to Jesus, I want you to be bold. And I want you to lift your hand up without hesitating. I want you to be proud and say, that's me. I want to come home. I want to come back into relationship with the Father. On the count of three. Ready? One. Today is the day of salvation. Two. Don't look at your neighbor. Forget about your neighbor. It's between you and Jesus. Ready? One, two, three. If that's you, lift it up. That's me. That's me. That's me. That's me, Rich. That's me. I'm making that decision today. Come on, every hand lifted in this place. Let's pray this prayer out loud. The scripture says, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and you shall be saved. Say, dear Jesus, today I surrender. I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. I repent. I'm coming home. Take my past sins. Take my present sins. You can even have my future sins. I'm fully yours. I want relationship with you. Thank you for walking with me. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said. Come on, Sunday service, can we throw a party in this place?
Well, thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for past episodes. And if you like what you're hearing, consider rating it and even sharing it with friends. It helps so much. For more content from VU and to connect with us, go to VUchurch.com. We love you. The best is yet to come.